Well, if you have your Bibles, and please turn them to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and if you're able to stand, please do so. And we're going to read from verse 14. Read a few verses in Mark chapter 1. Just a few verses this morning. The Bible mentions there in Mark chapter 1, beginning from verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Father in heaven, we ask and pray that you'd have the blessing upon your scriptures to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If I were to ascribe a mission statement to the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." If I were to summarize his last words given to the apostles, it would be, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." If I were entitled the first, perhaps, message that Jesus ever preached recorded in the scriptures, it would be, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." It is around about this time that the Lord Jesus Christ started his public ministry after John was put in prison. But John the Baptist, no doubt, paved the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had the same message. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, the kingdom of God is at hand." We also see that the prophets had the same message. In Ezekiel 14, 6, therefore say unto the house of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God, repent, turn yourselves from idols and turn away your faces from all abomination." And the apostles also had the same message carried out in the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And now if the message of the gospel consists of preaching the repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, then it should be the message that we declare today. The prophets declared this message, the apostles declared this message, and Jesus declared this message. But in today's society, I don't know about then whether they had a problem with the word repent, but in today's society, there is a problem with that word. People have a problem with that kind of preaching, of telling people to repent, or being personal with someone and actually challenging someone to turn to Christ. It's somewhat not a popular message. But Jesus preached repentance. It was declared all throughout the book. That was the message, that someone would repent. And so you may ask yourself, what does it mean to repent? What is repentance? Well, it's to have a change of mind, or to change your thinking, or to have a complete change of heart regarding something. But the greater question we should ask here today, what did Jesus want us to repent of or repent from? What was it that he wanted us to turn or change our thinking from? And we can see in Isaiah, if you turn there, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and verse 7, we may see a glimpse of what he would have us to change our thinking or change our heart about. In Isaiah 55, verse 6 through to 7, the Bible mentions, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake," note this phrase, it's two words, "his way." So it's a changing of a mind, if you would. It's a repenting from, as we heard in the testimonies today, of your ways toward God's ways. It's a change of a way. And a change of a thinking, changing from my ways, or changing from my paths, to come back to do it God's way. Now, that's the problem in our society, like it was back then, like it was in other generations, that people have the tendency of going their own way without God, without the Word. This started with Satan, no doubt. Satan wanted his way in heaven, and God says, "No, you're going down." And then Satan tried to deceive Eve to have her way, and he did a good job with it. And then Eve wanted her way, and Adam wanted his way. And therefore, we were born in the line of Adam. So therefore, you and I, as soon as we're out into this world, want our way. Charity wants her way. Our little daughter wants her way. Even she's about 11 months old, wants her way. No one has to teach her that you can have your way. She just wants her way. And if I tell little Charlie, turn around, I don't want you to go there, she looks at me and she itches. She went, don't touch that. And she, back and forth. We have that sinful nature that wants our way. And so that's what he wants us to repent from. A change of a way, if you would. And not only a change of way, but also a change of thinking. He says in there in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. So it's a repenting of our unrighteous thoughts, our wrong thinking. And if I were to ask anyone in this room this morning, would you volunteer to have your thoughts projected in this room? I don't believe you'll be the first one to put your hand up, or I won't put my hand up. Because our thinking is wrong. It's unrighteous. Even as Christians, we struggle with it. But the main thinking that God wants people to repent from is this thinking of having your way versus God's way. And I believe most people in this room have made that decision to turn from their ways and turn to God's ways. But God wants us to return to him in our way and in our thinking. The Bible says in Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, they are vanity. And in the book of Romans, Paul lists a bunch of wicked and evil things that people imagined and did. Things like they worshipped the creature more than the creator. They cared for animals and they worshipped animals more than they did God. They worshipped themselves more than they did God. They worshipped men and women more than they did God. And isn't it popular today that we have that rampant in our society, that we have men worship more than God's worship? And we have that people have a strong desire of lust, sexual lust and desires that they entangle themselves in. They have envy in their hearts. They have lying and being disobedient to authority, breaking promises. That lists a whole evil things. Also mentions that they are inventors of evil things. And that's their make. That's that their design. They're changing their sexual gender. And the reason for this, the Bible says in Romans 1:28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's the problem. And God calls everyone in this room to change his way and to change his thinking toward God. Psalms verse 10, verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. This kind of living is wicked, because the Bible mentions, let the wicked forsake his way. A lot of people have that hard to swallow today. You can't call me wicked. I'm a pretty good person. But God calls the wicked, or we can say, calls sinners to repentance. Let's take a look of in the days of Noah as an example. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Go down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted what? His way upon the earth. You see, perfect example of a world in that day of Noah that people wanted their own way. They did not want God in their thoughts. They didn't want God to rule their life. They wanted to be God. They wanted their way. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, but they wanted God out of the picture. We see Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing. Turn to chapter 13 of Genesis. Chapter 13. Notice verse 12. Notice the Bible says there, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly. Right? These were perhaps the cream of the crop of doing wickedness. Perhaps even knowing that they were doing, they'll have a pleasure in them. There are people that know that they're sinners and they understand that, and they desire to turn to God. But there are those that know that they're sinners and they have pleasure in doing it. They have pleasure in being against God and His ways. And what about the place of Nineveh? Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, beginning from verse 1. Notice what the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, verse 2, and he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And like it was in the days of Noah, and like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and like it was in the days of Nineveh, I'm telling you, it is, today is the same day that we're living in, and we're living in the day of wickedness. Where men want their own ways. Even as Christians, we have been influenced by the culture of human rights. People rule. People don't want to have God in their life. They don't want to have God in their thinking. They want to change things. They want to change words. They want to change the way we do church even. They don't want to use church anymore. As we're looking in that Bible, they want to use community now. Like the Church of God is a community-based thing, that it's just made up of the community of ungodly people, and that people can come into the house of God. I had a man one time call me up, and he said to me, he says, "Do you accept homosexuals in your church?" I said, "Absolutely." I said, I accept homosexuals in the church. We accept liars and thieves, all of them, if they'd repent and turn to God. God accepts them. Absolutely. No wise he will cast out. But for you to sit in the pew and worship in your state, God is not going to look at that and say, "That's good." And unfortunately, we live in a day today where it's rampant today. People want to worship God even in their way. Absolutely. They want to do it their way. They don't want to do it God's way. We have a tendency today in this world to continue to live our lives our way even when we get saved. It's a struggle. You know how it is as a believer. You face it every day. And Paul the Apostle says, "I die daily," because in his flesh dwelt no good thing. His flesh still wanted its own way. But God wanted his way in his life. And as a believer, we ought to yield to God every day. And say, "God, I do not want my old way, which you saved me from. I want your way, and I want you to continue to lead me in the right way." David said, and he cried out, he said, "Lord, search my heart and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way of everlasting." See, even as a saved person, even as a believer, we have our tendency to go our own way. And the most shocking thing about it is when we're deceived, thinking that we're okay, and God says, "No, let me search you." And that's why for Christians it's important to stay in the book. And that's why as Christians it's important to be under the word. And that's why it's important to have God to continue by his Spirit scrutinize us as we walk in the Spirit of God, and God challenging our hearts so we don't have our way and God can have his way in our lives. To repent is to have a change of heart, a change of mind toward God, and it's to return to the Lord. Notice Isaiah 55 verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him," "return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God has no doubt made a way for sinners, amen? That way is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." John the Baptist preached repentance. He says, "Repent ye." That's what that was his message. And they understood that it was a change of a way. from their way to God's way, and that he said that I baptize you with water, but there be one that baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he was the one that set the stage for him. He says, there he is, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's incomplete if you don't have repent and believe. As a matter of fact, they were entwined together. Repent meant believing, and believing meant to repent. You can't take like two sides of a coin. You need, they're the same in one essence. And we'll look at that on the conclusion of the message. But Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's what God prepared and planned for all sinners that went their own way. God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved. And saved from what? Their own way that leads to destruction. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep gone astray, everyone has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Well, we thank God for the gospel. Amen. That God made a way for us to return. And that way was the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that common verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's love. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's a promise that you can claim, but have everlasting life. This is the ultimate way which God has provided. So the amazing love of God. We wanted our way, but God came to show us his way. We didn't want to retain God in our thinking, but God thought of us. In Psalm 139 verse 17, David said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Can you imagine that? God's thoughts toward people are more in number than the sand on the sea. Though man wanted his wicked way, God says, I love you and I'm thinking about you and I want to save you and I want to show you the right way. That's the whole mission statement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Came to seek. He came. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Those people that have gone astray, turned their way, their own way. And if a person comes and repents, has a change of heart and a change of mind, comes back to God only through the gospel, they will be saved. They will have eternal life. They'll begin a new relationship with God. And as the Bible calls it, they will be born again from above. But they must repent. They must believe the gospel. You may ask today, well, what happens to those that do not repent and believe the gospel? Well, let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ says about this in Luke chapter 17, if you would. Luke chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 25. Jesus, in context, is explaining what needs to take place about his death, about his suffering, and about how men will reject him before he will come, die, and be resurrected and come again. It says there, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drank. Married wives that were given in marriage unto the day of Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and what? Destroyed them all. So what happens if a person doesn't repent and believes the gospel? They'll be destroyed. They'll perish. Let's continue there. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted, they built it, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Same thing is true. If that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and those people haven't repented or they haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own Savior, they will be destroyed. And I want you to note that these people could not just be wicked people that are committing violence. And we understand that there is a measure of sin out there. You know, there is a measure of wickedness. But we know that we are all lawbreakers. Amen? We've all broken the law of God. But let me just say to you today that these people could just be living a normal religious, perhaps, life. Marrying, eating, drinking. Perhaps like the rich man, eat, drink, be merry. Oh, say to my soul, you have well laid up many goods for many years. Eat, drink, be happy. But you know what the problem is? The problem is they're living without God. We have a lot of religious people. Perhaps they're good in front of others, go to church regularly, pray, give money to the poor. You know, what about that religious man that Jesus spoke about? There were two that prayed. One was a publican and one was a Pharisee. And one that prayed and lifted up himself toward God and said, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that publican, a sinner, extortioner. Thank you that I go to, allow me to paraphrase, I go to church and I pray and I give money." God says, "You're not justified." But the publican man was. Looked up to God, he bowed his head. He wouldn't but look up and said, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner," beat his hand upon his chest. And you can be a very religious man, living a religious life. You don't take drugs, you don't go out and steal, you don't go and do all these immoral acts and sexual things. You kept your purity to the day you married. And by the way, that's something that we ought to do. It's not something that we're rewarded for. It should be who we are. But some of them hold it perfectly. Paul the Apostle was the chief of sinners, but yet at the same time said that I kept the law, blameless. But he was the chief of sinners. Because in his heart and in his thoughts lies wickedness. Wickedness toward man, maybe not. Wickedness toward God, yes. You look at the world today and you see a lot of people that they don't mind doing good to their fellow man. They don't mind keeping the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, because that's the way they get by. I do good to others, they're going to do good to me. What a great principle. The Buddhists embrace that principle. But what about God? What about loving God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul? What about coming to God and saying, "God, I want you in my life, though I don't have you in my life, but I want you in my life. I want you to be ruling my life. I want you to direct my life. And Lord, I do have a tendency to go my own way, but I don't want to go my own way. I want it your way." It would be absurd for some to even think about having God in their life. And some of these people died and they were destroyed and perished because they did not retain God in their knowledge, nor did they want God a part of their life, and they were destroyed. Religious people can be destroyed. Moral people can be destroyed. Absolutely. People that live morally. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. The Bible does not say repent and do good works. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 verse 6, "But we are all as unclean, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." I was trying to find a little illustration this morning, and a couple of guys helped me out. I probably thought we were working on a Sunday fixing cars, but we tried to get some grease out. And God says that all that you do, all your righteousness of good acts, maybe giving, praying, fasting, is like this rag here, filthy. All you do and all that you present to God in order to get right with Him and have His favor upon your life is but a puff-filled rag. And God says there's no way that you'll ever get to him through this, your own works. But it's common today, isn't it? That people try to get to God through their works of righteousness. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But even some of us would think that, and we'd say it sometimes, and we know what we mean by saying this statement. Oh, he's a good man. Morally, he's a good man. We may say that. Some may go to the extent and say, well, he's got a good heart. I might disagree in that area. And sometimes you may have a slip of the tongue, but you know what you mean. But our heart is wicked. It's not good. We have a tendency, perhaps, to act in good ways to get by, and we know that it's the right thing to do, but in the core of our being, we're wicked, and there's no good thing that will ever make us right with God. But through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can live a religious life. You can live a moral life. You can have the Bible as your guide, and you can have it in the center of your house. We heard the testimony this morning. You can keep the principles of God's word. But if you're not saved by God's grace and you haven't claimed the blood of Christ, then you're going to be like a leaf fading away with your iniquity. You're going to be destroyed in your sins. And unfortunately, religious people that try to work their way to heaven will be destroyed. Repent, he says, and believe the gospel. He doesn't say repent and keep the Ten Commandments. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then what? Christ is dead in vain. Christ died for nothing, which brings us to the big question. Why did Jesus have to die? Why? Because we're not cracked up to be good people. We're sinners that needs a savior. People even corrupt the way of salvation, unfortunately. And that's just proofs to us how corrupted we are. We create this and do that and create laws and have religious systems, and people want to say that all ways lead to the one God. Rubbish. That's what Oprah shares today. That's what the ecumenical movement is trying to push today. That you can be okay in what you do and where you worship, and it's all good. Because you're a good man and you have a good heart and you're doing it for a good cause. But God says no. Repent and believe the gospel. It's the only way. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the thought that God had in plan was Jesus Christ. There is no other way which we can have our sin forgiven and be justified. There is no other way but through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God gave the people in Noah's days 120 years to consider their ways and provided a way which would be the ark, as we would call it, Noah's ark. But in that time, they laughed at Noah. But that door would be a picture of the door which Christ will be for us, the door to the fold, the door to eternal life. There's no other door. There's that one door. Even the days there in Sodom and Gomorrah, we see Abraham having a conversation with God. An intimate conversation. Lord, if there be a few righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you still destroy it? I don't know what Abraham thought. Perhaps would have thought he was more loving than God, but God said, no, I won't. If I thought that there were any people there that had a heart to repent and turn to me and do it my way, no, I wouldn't. That's why he pulled Lot out of there and destroyed it. God's a loving God, but he gives warning before he destroys, warning before judgment comes. What about Nineveh? Well, the people of Nineveh repented. Let's turn to, actually, before turning there, let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord brought this scripture to my thoughts this morning. It wasn't in my notes, but I added it. Second Peter chapter 2, beginning from verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, upon the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them as a what? Ensample unto those that should live ungodly. And what God is saying, if he spared not the angels and they were going to be judged, and he spared not those people in the days of Noah, and spared not those people in the days of Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, let me just say something here this morning. God will not spare you if you don't turn to him. He won't. And this part of the message seems to sound so what? Negative, especially to the outside world. It's the message where, part of the message where they'd like to grab and use it against us and say, your God is wicked. Your God sends people to hell. Excuse me, God loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be saved. But if you want to continue living your own way, you're only paving your way to hell. You can't blame God. God loves you. God loves you. He died for you. He was a lamb that was slain for you. But one day he's going to become a lion, the Lion of Judah, and he's going to judge wickedness and sin and liars and hypocrisy and religious people and those that want to continue in their way. He's going to judge it. He's not going to spare any. But notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, then the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Turn to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Let's have a look at verse 2. The commission to go to Nineveh. Back it up. And the word of the Lord, verse 1, came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It's God's preaching. It's God's word. It's God's command. And the command is to repent. The command is to turn. Turn from your ways and turn to God's ways. Change your thinking. Change your heart. So we see in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh, what? Believe God. Same thing. Repentance is believing, and believing is repentance. It's the same in one act. And proclaimed a fast, and put sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. These are the ones that would be simply remorseful and really repenting from their sin. They're not just casual kickback people that say, oh, thank you, Lord, for taking me to heaven, and they continue in their ways. No. These are people that had a change of heart and mind, and it was evident. And really, turn to God. And so therefore, they'd be sitting down and repenting and bowing their head before God. They'd have a fear of God. A fear of God will take place in their life. It was a true repentance. and a true belief, Jonah was thrown back. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. Look, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. You have no time left. There is no time to waste. You haven't made that decision yet. Eternity is getting closer. Jesus is coming back soon. There's an urgency. The time is at hand. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. While is it said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I think one of the most hardest things for people to do in our days is to bow their head before God and surrender their way. Take it! Take it! It's all yours. Yeah. They're willing to give a few things to God. You can take that one and that one, but I'm still holding that to that one. If you ever come to God that way, that's not salvation. God doesn't want to just forgive your sin. God wants to save the sinner. God wants you. He wants to save you. Absolutely. So I don't want my way anymore, Lord. I want your way. Save me. You don't have to say a long theological prayer. It's the heart attitude toward God. It's a changing of a mind and heart, realizing that you're a great sinner walking your own way and he's a great savior. It's changing your way and coming to do it God's way. I was calling up a few community centers up in Nelson Bay. We want to do a public meeting up there. Right now we're having a Bible study in a home. And I've been trying to call up different folks for about 2 weeks now, trying to find a facility that will be the right time, the right day. Unfortunately, we can't get it for the day we want. We have to change the day. So anyway, I spoke to this man. I won't mention his name, but he's probably in his 70s. And let's call him Max. That's not his real name. And I said, hi, how are you? And he mentioned his name. I said, how you doing? I said, I'm looking for a place that we can hire. He said, oh, what are you going to use it for? I said to him, we're going to use it to do Bible study. And Bible study. He goes, oh, yeah, what church are you from? I said, I told him, we're from the Grace Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Newcastle, but it's an outreach from here. He goes, yeah, I used to go to a Baptist church. I said, oh, okay. I said, Max, well, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? He goes, no, I won't. I'm not. I said, why? He goes, because it's people like you. He changed tone of voice and all. It's people like you that Bible bash me. I said, sorry, Max. I didn't really say any verses to you yet. I just asked you a question. I just was concerned for you. Now, look, listen, do you want to do business or what? I don't want to talk about this. I said, I'm sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend you. But he was offended. And I began to think, in 70 years of his life, how many times God would have sent some preacher to come and say, repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn. He's heard it before. Well, there's another one. He's telling me to... I just got personal with him. As soon as you get personal, you're in big trouble. You can talk about church and you can talk about religion and you can talk all about politics and this, but as soon as you go up to someone and say, if you die now, do you know where you're going? Oh, leave me alone. You're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm caring for you. I want to know whether you believe the gospel. It would be a sad thing to see if you're trusting your works, or sad thing to see that you're trusting a little prayer that you said a long time ago that you can't. It would be a very sad thing. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what I would hope for you, and that's what I want you to have, so you could know for sure that you'd go to heaven. Anyway, Max didn't send me an email. He didn't send me an email like he promised. So I called him back in a couple of days. I said, hello. You can't miss my voice. I guess he kind of, you know, and he hung up on me. Well, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, rang him back up again. I said, what happened, Max? He said, bad reception. I said, okay, no worries. Hung up again. Maybe it was a bad reception. Called him up again. I said, Max, what's going on? I didn't receive your email. He goes, yeah, because you Bible bashed me. I didn't even say anything. I said, look and listen, Max, if you're going to continue doing this, I'm going to go to the council, because he works for the council. He's one of a volunteer, if you would. And I'm going to tell him you're discriminating. It's about time I said it to someone. It's always someone saying it to me. Anyway, Max got really shaken up. He says, all right, I'll send it to you. I said, okay. I said, look, I'm just telling you something, Max. You're the one that opened up the subject, by the way. You said, what church did you go to? And I told you, and you said, I used to go to church. And then I said to you, I said, you know for sure if you'd go to heaven. That's all I said. He says, well, you know, I live a reasonable life and I do good to my fellow man, except me. And I'm trying to help him. And then we ended the conversation and he opened the subject again. He said, I wasn't discriminating you, mate. I said, let's leave it at that. I want to get the email. I want to get this happening over there. No worries, Max. No problem. But then I prayed for Max. And I said, God, please melt his heart. It's hard. He just has to hear heaven, Jesus, gospel, and he's finished, because he has been hard to God's way. And when you're hard to God's way, you get bitter toward God, you get bitter toward those that are in the way. Yeah. You look at Timothy and you see what he says regarding those perilous times shall come, that they'll hate those that even hold on to the truth. I can't stand you. You're the scum. Get out of my way. Yeah. Please melt his heart. Please, Lord. 70 years. Spurgeon said, the same sun which melts wax hardens clay. And the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sins. How would you respond to the gospel? Repent. Repent. And believe the gospel. It's wonderful. Amen. To some, it's music to their ears. To others, it's a cringing, annoying sound. But if you're neutral here today, I beg you with all my heart, turn. Turn from your way and turn to God's way, which is Jesus Christ, the only true way. Not through religion, not through good works, not through keeping the law of the Ten Commandments, although we need to, not for salvation, but because we are the children of God and we want to shine as lights. But no. Not even through a sinner's prayer. No. Sorry to burst your bubble. It's a change of heart. And I'm not saying that those that did pray a prayer aren't saved. But when you prayed that prayer, did you have a change of heart, change of mind toward your sin and toward God? Did you know that you were trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior and that you were turning from your own ways and turning to God's way? It was just a prayer. I'd said many prayers after the confession box, leaving that priest, that room that the priest was in. But they were just vain prayers that made me feel good for a while, but that was it. No hope, no peace, no assurance of heaven. Not until 11 years ago, I repented. I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, I don't want my way anymore. I didn't list, by the way, let me just say, I didn't list all my sins. I can't, there were too many. Couldn't count them. But the problem, the core of the problem is Charlie wanted his way. Even in religion. Yeah, if I had God somewhere, it made me feel good there, you know. Yeah. Lord, I don't want my way. I want your way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. Amen. And his blood on that cross. And I pray with all my heart, if you haven't repented or you haven't changed your heart, your mind toward God, it's not a change of behavior. Please don't get me wrong here today. Don't walk out these doors and say, oh, the preacher preached Lord's Supper salvation. Every time you preach on repentance, you may get accused of that. Let me just say something. It's not a change of behavior. It's a change of heart toward God. And God, in his mercy, will save you and will start cleaning you up. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If the gospel that you believe doesn't change you, then there's something wrong with the gospel that you believe. The gospel which we believe and that you should believe is that you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You were saved by his blood alone. You were justified by his resurrection. And I pray with all my heart that you have repented from your ways and believed the gospel. In closing, what does this mean for a Christian? I'm saved. I've done that. I've repented. I've believed the gospel. Can I just say something then? If you have, you and I still have the flesh there. It's not gone. It's there. And then we must continue to live our Christian lives and say, Lord, continue to have your way in my life. Not for me to keep my salvation. No. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, and I kept by the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb is perfect. He's able to save and he's able to keep. No, but your walk with God, you being Christ-like, you being in the center of God's will, you being where God wants you to be, not out of God's will, not roaming around here or there, saying, God, no, I want you to have your way in all that I do as a Christian. I want your will to be done in my life. I don't want my way, I want your way. And so I guess that will be the challenge to you, Christian. And not only that, that your message, when you go out there, would also be Christ's message, Jesus' message. Change your ways. Believe the gospel. Let's pray.